The Yachting Monthly podcast for June, Libby Purvis. Okay, I admit it. I spent 2 weeks this spring on a cruise ship. I may have used studied vagueness when telling censorious yachties that I was at sea, hoping they thought I was butting down the channel in sodden thermals. But the raw truth is, I was floating around the Western Caribbean finishing a book in the agreeable library of the neat little Spirit of Adventure, and only getting wet in a sedate beach context, or while going ashore in a Zodiac driven by Clive the cocktail pianist and snorkel instructor. But the reason I come clean in these husky pages is that one or two home truths hit me when observing the way a cruise ship relates to its passengers. Yachting skippers often put little thought into this, being understandably concerned with getting into the right harbour with no loss of life and minimal loss of dignity. When their shipmates are technically and temperamentally crew, all is well. Crew can be ordered about, rebuked, woken at unsocial hours. Crew don't mind having their circadian rhythms disrupted because the Genoa needs getting down. Crew are volunteers, they are loyal to the ship. But passengers? Most yacht skippers would rather have nothing to do with anyone who must be thought of as a passenger. Yet such do exist in yachting. There are friends out for a picnic, children, granny and grandad being given a spin. Maybe we should look to the patient experts on the cruise ships as to how to handle them. It is perhaps not necessary to employ smiling Filipino cabin stewards to creep into their bunk area every night and fold the hand towels into the shapes of elephants, but useful pointers can be picked up. The first, surprisingly, is a strict one. Even though cruise ships are anxious to prevent passengers thinking about shipwreck, the good ones hold a rigorous lifeboat drill as soon as everyone is aboard, disrupting the unpacking of garish cruise wear and the downing of Manhattans, to make everyone collect a life jacket, put it on, tightness checked by crew, and line up in the appropriate lounge. How many yacht skippers fail to tell every newcomer exactly where to find a life jacket, how to make a pan-pan call or use flares? At least one notable Solent disaster was made worse after the skipper went overboard, and none of the passengers could do more than make a mobile phone call, having no idea even how to switch on the lights to identify the boat to rescuers. It's fatally easy just to hand the newcomer aboard and forget to do any safety briefing at all. As to information, even there the cruise ships show the way. The captain does at least tell you what the ship is doing and what weather is expected, explaining over the intercom how the undocking procedure will work. Yachtsmen don't always remember. I recall one picnic passenger, a retired nurse of great intelligence and spirit, being confused by tacking. "I don't know why you can't make your mind up, always weaving around like that. Where do you think you're going?" Another information point concerns access. On a big ship, there are doors saying crew only. It may take nerve to tell social visitors that they can't go on the foredeck without a harness, or that sitting at the chart table is out of the question during pilotage. But if operational and safety matters aren't made politely clear from the start, it just leads to ill feeling when the crunch comes. The trouble is, of course, that such briefings make the skipper, up till then a charming son-in-law, feel like Captain Bligh, which, given that all non-sailors think that all men become monsters on boats, is always embarrassing. As to comfort, perhaps sun loungers won't fit in your 26-footer, but cushions in the cockpit make life far sweeter, especially for the back. And the cruise ship philosophy of little treats at regular intervals could be adapted. What newcomers to sailing never realise is that the balmy little sail with a nice forecast may, without it being anyone's fault, turn into a 7-hour thrash to windward in a lumpy sea. Sailors are resigned to this. Passengers are not. And if they aren't actually sick, they're immensely cheered up by frequent light meals, biscuits, tea, boiled sweets or fruit, anything that can be eaten while holding on with the other hand. Just because the skipper and crew are focused on sail trimming and identifying the distant breakwater through the murk, it doesn't mean that the bewildered passengers must shiver and starve, does it? Oh, and one other thing. If all that disgusts you and you think everyone on a boat should face the privations of seafaring together, then fine. Only don't take passengers. Really don't, if you think that way. Just give them dinner ashore instead. Accept that you are simply not suited to the life of a cruise director. Quite a lot of us aren't.